You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free, 347-215-7771.
All right, that's right. 347-215-7771. That is the toll-free call line sponsored by betonline.ag. You can give us a call there if you'd like tonight. My name is Matt Rury. I'm here with my man Joe Choquette, and we will be here for the next 45 minutes to an hour for you on the CLNS Media Celtics post-game show. And listen, Celtics win this one 112-102 down in Miami. And, Joe, this is going to be a lighthearted show, because I'll tell you what, there have been times this season where even after wins I've been a little disappointed, I've been in a bad mood, I've not wanted to do the show, the game has been boring, it's just not something that I even want to talk about for 5 minutes, let alone an hour. And for some reason, after this meaningless game in the middle of, or the beginning of April, down in Miami, where the Heat kind of didn't even show up. They played hard for stretches, but the Heat didn't really look that good tonight at all. They looked better the other night in Boston. I'm in a good mood for multiple reasons. The Celtics win. They keep pace with Indiana. They push the Heat further away from the playoffs, almost out. And really, the main thing that I'm going to get to right here, right off the bat, on the Celtics postgame show, is that finally, I don't have to see Dwayne Wade on the basketball court ever again. If I don't want to watch a Heat random team game for the rest of the season, there's four left, I don't have to watch it. I don't have to watch him play the Celtics. I'm done with Dwayne Wade. Thank goodness for that. That's where I lead off right here. I'm going to hate on Dwayne Wade. How about that?
Wow, is it Dwayne Wade or is it his juicy jowls that have you all tied up tonight? Seriously, though, it was nice to see the Celtics get a good victory tonight. They needed it, keeping pace with the Pacers, who also won tonight. I'm with you, Matt. I mean, I don't know if we live in a parallel universe. I didn't see Endgame before its release. I'm sure you haven't seen it yet either, but I feel the same way. I'm upbeat. I'm happy. Gordon M.F. Hayward tonight. What a game. I mean, just an infinite amount of time type of game. Yeah, and I know, you know, these games matter. And when you watch the way the game transpired tonight, there's possession to possession, there were ups and downs. But at the end of the day, the Celtics came out against the Heat in Miami. And let's face it, folks, the Celtics are at best a 500 team on the road this year. They actually outplayed, out-hustled, and actually out-energied the home team. And it was good to see. It was good to see them taking this stretch run, you know, the next three or four games down left, with a little bit of a sense of wanting to secure that four spot. So, Matt, I'm with you. I'm in a good mood. No one's janking up my vibe tonight. Let's have a great show.
Yeah, listen, I'm not trying to pump up the Celtics because they beat the Heat back-to-back games. I'm not trying to say that they look like they're world beaters or that they're going to win the NBA title or they're even a breeze to the Eastern Conference Finals. What I'm trying to say is, for the first time pretty much all year, I have actually been encouraged by something I've seen from the entire Boston Celtics team that played in a basketball game. Every single other game
Coach
this year.
Coach up.
They've played. Yeah, it's been crazy. Tonight was a very solid win, even though it's against a team that's barely going to make the playoffs if they do at all. But they've played 79 games now, Joe. And this is not hyperbole. I promise you. In 78 games up until this point, there has been something that you or me or you or I or anybody else could have complained about and said this is not a good win or this has been a terrible loss all the way around. Even in the games like the game against Golden State where they beat the Warriors or they played them really well at home and it was a fun game to watch. There have been fun games to watch, but none of those games actually encouraged me about what the Celtics could be and what they could do and if they could meet their potential. This is the last couple of games, they finally look like they're actually trying out there once in a while, and the effort seems to be there. They look more like a team. They look cohesive. Gordon Hayward has stepped up big time, and we can talk about him more in depth in a few minutes, but I'm happier with the result of this game than I have been all season, and I think that they may finally be flipping that switch, you know, that they say they can flip the switch, and I'm thinking that they're finally showing signs that they actually can. So maybe I'm buying into them a little too much. Maybe I have green goggles on, but I feel pretty good about where they stand right now.
Absolutely. And you don't have green goggles on, Matt. What you said is absolutely true. We're 79 games into this season. I'm on Celtics overload at this point. I've watched I think I can honestly say I've listened to or seen every game this season. And to your point, there have been flashes of brilliance. I distinctly remember a Friday night Toronto game in which Gordon Hayward, I believe, dropped 30, and it was a sick game. And you kind of had that inspirational feel, but then you had that realization that you were still in the first third of the season. Where we are now, a couple of games left, rounding into form, and to your point, not only were you inspired by what you saw on the court today, but from not just what you saw on the court, but what I saw from Brad Stevens. What we're starting to see now is the formalization of what the playoff roster is going to look like from a play and matchup perspective, time on the floor. It's going to keep increasing a little bit. Now, if they can secure the four, then I guarantee you they might tank whatever's left down the season, down the rest. But I doubt they can do that before then. You'll know better after the Indy game. However, that all being said, it was inspirational. To your point, it was not a world-beating night. It was the Miami Heat. I mean, let's be honest. This is a team that's fighting to make the playoffs. And let's be honest, I'm not sure we saw a lot of fight tonight from that team in Miami. But keeping all that in mind, I'm inspired by what I saw from Brad Stevens. I'm inspired by what I saw. What happens when you put Al at the four, not the five? That is the most undertold story in this town. And I know that you know basketball a ton, Matt, so I'm sure you can appreciate this too. When you can put Al Horford at the four and you can put Baines at the five and allow Al to play the four the way he wants to play the floor. Last game you saw a triple-double tonight, another strong performance from Al Horford when he was sharing the floor with Aaron Baines. People, Aaron Baines and Al Horford are not necessarily the only way you progress through this playoffs, but they play a major factor down the road. Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that you can play those two guys together, and they seem to have a little bit more cohesion. I think especially on defense, where Al Horford has kind of been the anchor for the last couple of years, Aaron Baines really helps him out in that regard, and he can sort of sag off, and he doesn't have to play the Hassan Whiteside. He doesn't have to play the biggest player on the other team. He can go out there, and if they end up facing the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round, for example, he can focus on a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, get some help from guys around him. He doesn't have to worry about what Brook Lopez is doing just because he's the biggest guy on the court. He can let Aaron Baines run around with Brook Lopez. You know what I'm saying? So that gives – if whatever Al Horford can do to focus on something that is more important, I want him to do that. I don't want anybody else to worry about what Al Horford can do to impact the game. I want him to be uber focused on what he can do to impact the game, because he can do a lot of things against guys that are a little bit smaller than him. And while Giannis is a freak of nature, not to get ahead of ourselves, Celtics still need to win the first round matchup, of course. But if you end up facing a guy like Giannis in Milwaukee and you can shut him down with Al Horford sort of trying to smother him, while other guys worry about the bigger players on the team, that's a great position. And we all know that he's more comfortable playing the four than the five anyway. He's come out and said it in the past.
Absolutely. I mean, I like to think that sometimes, to quote the great Nick Sacento from CLNS Media, that I come out with flaming hot Cheeto takes on occasion. But this is not one. I actually stole this from former CLNS Media broadcaster Patrick Gilroy, now on WEEI Late Night. I stole this from him at the office today because we were talking about the Celtics. And I had said to him, I go, wow, Al's triple-double last night, or the night before last. And he said, do you know why Al's able to do that when he's in the four? And I said, no, why? And he said, because think about it. Al is in the NBA probably rated out. Now, I might be talking straight out of my butt, but when your eyeballs tell you this, you have to go with them. Al Horford is probably a top 10 four in the NBA. But Al Horford is a middle five in the NBA. So you automatically upgrade your team by upgrading the position on the floor in which you play Al Horford and can utilize him on that court. That, along with Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, that is a pretty deadly poker lineup right there. I don't want to face that in the playoffs if I'm an opposing team. And when they start figuring out how to play together, like we're starting to see now, it does bode dangerously for who they face in the first round. And then, to your point, you have to change your style of play when you go up against Giannis a bit. But it's a nice way to think of getting additional scoring without needing an additional body. It's just sliding one body to a different position. And if positionally in that matchup you're allowed to do that, that sets you up for success.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know if I would call Al Horford a four or a five. I mean, he just... I wish that there were only three positions at this point in the NBA, because the NBA is pushing right in this direction anyway, right? Guard, forward, center is the type of the way they're going, and maybe not even that, more like a guard slash forward, and then a big forward, if you will, a forward slash center.
Yep.
Those would be the three positions in my opinion, because a lot of these guys that qualify for power forward status, or center status, I should say, can also qualify for small forward status, because sometimes they have their teams sort of looking and having them play the three. I mean, just look at Ben Simmons. He's not a big guy, but he qualifies as a small forward in the NBA because sometimes they have T.J. McConnell running the point, and he's out there as a bigger player. So, I mean, that's just one example of the modern type day player sort of turning into multiple positions. James Harden is an excellent example as well. I mean, he's really a shooting guard slash small forward, but he handles the ball
right,
so much for the Houston Rockets that you have to also consider him a point guard. And honestly, I think that some point in the future, maybe whether it's 10 years, 20 years down the line, defensive metrics are going to take over as well, and they're going to factor greatly into the way that we look into players and what position they play and things like that. And believe me, this is just to feed my agenda right now, because I think that this guy has been great for the Celtics this year and he deserves some praise at this point, because I haven't given him much in his tenure here. But at some point, you're going to look at Marcus Smart and you're going to say, this guy could be a center if he had to be, because he defends centers and power forward. So not to jump around too much here, but I think that to look at things in the future, the NBA is going away from the traditional power forward, small forward, shooting guard, point guard, and center. And Al Horford kind of fits that mold, because while he's a little bit bigger and he's getting a little bit older, he could still run with most of the small forwards in this league. So I think that's the way that Danny Ainge built this team, right? He wanted to get a whole bunch of guys that could play any position if they really had to. And I think he's done a pretty good job of that.
He really has. I mean, the idea at the end of the day is to create matchups that are impossible or extremely difficult for your opponent. And to your point, by creating so many different or stocking so many different hybrid players, players that can play multiple spots on the floor and play it effectively, Danny's kind of positioned this team to be set up to really kind of make a run. And it's all about figuring it out. And I mean, you, me, Nick, Taylor, Bobby, Sam, Jack, everybody that's done post games this year, the one constant that continues to come out is consistency from every host. We all want from this team consistent play night in and night out. We didn't get that. What we got was consistent mediocrity throughout the entire season. However, I think we're all cognizant that the season is drawing to a close now. We're starting to see better rotational play by the coach in regards to players on the court. We're seeing ball movement equate to completed possessions, which we weren't seeing on a consistent basis prior. And we're actually seeing this team learn, I guess, to put a little more pressure on the throat when they're up. Now, early in this game, they started to seem like they could run away with it. I think they were up 9 in the first. They were kind of going, and you thought to yourself, all right, this is one of those times where you put up a 20-point lead after one, then you add to it, and you get 27 going into the half. And then, you know, you can coast third and fourth and still win this game. But that's not what we got. What we got was this constant medium pressure on the throat throughout the game, which allowed Miami to feel like they were still a part of it. But every single time the Celtics needed to make a run tonight, they were having the consistent play by the – yeah, and it was equating into positive possessions. It wasn't just this down turnover, you know, Jason Tatum wailing the ball in the lane and somebody picking his pocket. It was more consistent play. And Gordon Hayward, I know we mentioned it earlier, I'll just mention it briefly now, and then I want to get your thoughts on his play tonight. But Gordon Hayward put up a decent amount of points, but not so much his point total is what I took away from this game, Matt. What I really took away from this game was the fact that his involvement overall, defensively, offensively, on the boards, with the ball in his hands, facilitating and passing. I thought what you got tonight, whether the point total was high enough for your expectations or wants for Gordon Hayward, I think the overall game that he provided tonight is an extremely big positive moving forward. What was your take?
Yeah, so first of all, the Celtics, like you said, they kind of had some lulls in this game. Miami went on a couple of runs. They always seemed like they were in control, though, and that's something that we don't often see. Usually, if a team get up big and a team pushes back on them and they go on a big run, they fold. And the criticism of Brad Stevens is he doesn't call timeouts in time, and then the lead slips away, and then the other team has momentum, and that's it, and the game's over, and the Celtics give up. They didn't do that tonight. And I think that they always felt like they were in control, whether that's because they beat the Heat at home a couple nights ago and they just felt confident, or it's because they are just playing better as a team. That remains to be seen. And I'm going to get to a couple things that actually might concern me a little bit going forward in a minute. But as far as Gordon Hayward is concerned, I would love to just mention that he, to me, looked – this is one of the best games he's had all season. And I think that he really has, over the past 3 to 4 weeks, built the confidence that we expected him to have coming into the year, and he didn't get until now. And I'm not going to blame him for that, because that injury is impossible to come back from, in my opinion. I just looking at it, I wouldn't even want to come anywhere near something like that happening to me or anyone that I know, you know. Like, it just was so gruesome. So I'm happy to see that he's coming back. But as far as his game is concerned tonight, what encouraged me about him is that his jump shot wasn't really falling at first, and he made it a point to drive the lane, get to the basket, get fouled, get to the free throw line, get his teammates involved. He was great on defense. It looked like he made every single play and effort out there to play good defense against his – whoever he was guarding. It didn't matter whether it was Winslow or Adebayo, or I think he stuck on Olynyk for a couple possessions there. But he looked like he was – the confidence continues to grow. So I don't think there's a ceiling for confidence. I think that you can – that it just – if you're playing well as an NBA player, or as anyone for that matter, if you're doing things well in your life, confidence just continues to build until something goes wrong again, or you make a mistake or something like that. So I think that as long as he's playing well, it's the sky's the limit on that, and that is a great sign for the Celtics going into the playoffs.
Absolutely. The thing I look for with Gordon Hayward more than anything else, and I haven't really talked about it on postgame this season, but you know, we're rounding down. I might as well empty the clip while we got time. But one of the things I keep looking for in Gordon Hayward's game, and this is from a layman's perspective, I'm not a medical professional. I sell candy just like Patrick Gilroy does. I'm not curing cancer. I'm selling smiles. However, when I watch Gordon Hayward's play on the court, the one thing I've watched all season long is how he pivots when he's picked, because that tells me exactly how that ankle's feeling. As much as watching the way he launches and lands on layups and dunks can kind of give you an indicator as to his trust level on that particular part of his body, the other part to look for is the way the hips and the cut is off of a pick. And so it's one of the little pieces of his game that I've watched all season, and one of the ways I've measured the progress that I've seen. And again, not an NBA analyst. I'm a guy who does post game on CLNS Media, and I enjoy doing it. And I like to be able to give the perspective of the guy that just watched the game. But that's an inside
that's the beauty of this.
Radio thing I've been – oh, absolutely. But it's the inside radio thing that I've been watching in Gordon Hayward's game throughout the season and how I'm judging it, because I've never looked at the point total and been excited. I've never looked at the rebound total, and he's had a couple of games where he's had 14-plus rebounds in a game. I'm not interested in that. I'm looking at the physical capabilities and the trust that he puts on that leg. And One of the things I've noticed is from December to January, January to February, February to March, and now March into April, is that confidence level, to your point, on that leg has continued to grow incrementally throughout the month. And now we're at a point where I'm guessing you're seeing about an 80 to 85% trust factor on landing on that leg, which is almost, you don't think about it, but you still kind of do in the back of your head. And that's kind of where I think Gordon Hayward is. And to your point, some nights you're going to have a great effort out of him, and other nights, either it's matchup-wise or it's just one of those nights where he's in his head, and you get, to quote the great Lou Maloney, instead of average Al, you get average Gordon or average Hayward. But that's okay, because you have enough talent on this team, if everyone's playing well, to hide that.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that he's coming into his own now, and I like the way that he's been playing basketball. He's not worried about – he doesn't seem to be worried about his health at this point. And, of course, in the back of every player's mind, they don't want to get hurt. But it's when you can sort of suppress that thought and say, you know what? I'm not going to get hurt. And if I do, I'll deal with it at that time. I'm going to give it everything I have and play with confidence, where that's when guys really – play their best, of course. So seeing that from Gordon Hayward over the past couple of weeks has been really encouraging. So that's something that's great to take away from this game tonight. All right, 347-215-7771, of course, is the betonline.ag call-in line, toll-free. And we also have a promo for you. If you go to clnsmedia.com/win, and use the code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, you can get 50% cash back on your first deposit on betonline.ag. So if you have predicted games in the past and you've said, the Celtics are going to win this one, I like that game over there, maybe I'll watch whatever's on ESPN tonight, you could bet on any of these games. It's legal in a handful of states now, so go check it out, betonline.ag. And, of course, if you want that promo, you got to go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the code CLNS50. Again, the number is 347-215-7771. And we are going to bring one of our very own to the line here, bring him live. We're going to go talk to a man you mentioned just a few minutes ago, Joe. Nick Cicento, welcome to the show.
Buenas noches, mis amigo.
My ears must have been ringing, because I wasn't going to call into the show. I'm sitting here watching the best basketball team in the state of Florida right now. across all leagues and across all divisions and across all levels of play, the University of South Florida playing DePaul up in Chicago for the College Basketball Invitational Championship.
NIT
They're about
championship.
To lose game
okay.
two, but it's a best of three, so we still got one more game in Chicago. I'm thinking about renting a car and driving to Chicago, but I
wow.
did flip back and forth to this game, and I did like a lot of what I saw, especially Gordon Hayward. I think that's the Gordon Hayward you want to see playing, the confidence. You know, when the guy takes 13 free throws, that means he's going to the basket. That means he's being active, and that means he's confident in his body and what he can do when he's not playing. He's not out there playing afraid or timid or tenuous or whatever you want to call it. You'd love to see that from Gordon Hayward, and that's going to be critical for the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. If Gordon Hayward can play even half as well, he had 25 points in, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. If he gives you 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists, I mean, it's still legit for, you know, it's still going to bode extremely well for the Boston Celtics. So you love that. I like Aaron Baines tonight, too. I like the double-double with minimal effort. But as I didn't watch the entire game because I was flipping back and forth to the actual real best basketball team in the state of Florida, I know UCF lost on the last second shot to Duke in whatever round of the other tournament that I wasn't watching. But the University of South Florida, watch, they're going to win the College Basketball Invitational, and the Big East will regret that they kicked us out and sent us to the American Athletic Conference, to the minor leagues. That's all right. But go Celtics. Great show. I'm going to have to listen to what Joe Chiquette was saying about me. So I'll go back to the replay of the show and listen to the rest of it later on.
It's Drive all time love, Nick. All love.
I hope so.
Yeah,
it's always
bad.
Love for you,
nothing
Joe.
Bad.
I love you, man. It's cool. And one of my favorite hosts, both of you guys. I wish it could have been like a trio, like a menage host or something.
We
got to
get
that
back. That was a few years ago here on CLNS Media / Radio. We had the three-way hosting, and everybody, I mean, one person would be checking the board, and we were jumping around with callers at that point too. So we have to bring that back. Maybe for the playoffs.
6 callers a post game, 6 to 8 callers a post game. Sometimes 10. You needed a third wheel to kind of
good average. Exactly.
And screen the calls.
That's right, and over the course of a season, you need that person as well, and you, my friend, have done a wonderful job of that for us. We like to call him the producer around here, Mr. Nick Vicento. Thanks for joining us, sir. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks,
also a host. There he goes. Also a host on the post-game show here. And with that, I am actually, Joe, going to give us a bit of a break, just a little quick one here to let you all know about our wonderful sponsor. So take a listen to this, just 1 minute, and Joe and I will be back
Give
with
him a
more
tease, Matt. Give him a
from
tease.
The CLNS
Give
Media post-game Celtics post-game show. And, I mean, I don't know about you, Joe, but I've already mentioned that there are some things that concern me about this team and specifically about this game tonight. So it's not all the rainbows and sunshine over here. There is a couple. There are two players in particular that I want to mention that we haven't mentioned, and for good reason tonight. So we'll do that when we come back from this quick break, sponsored by BetOnline.ag.
Today's episode is powered by BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, of course you want to find the best person for that job. Well, the odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. LinkedIn goes further. They include skills and background, interests, activities, and passions. This way, you'll get the most relevant and qualified candidate early on in the process, and you can spend more time on candidates you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in developing quality hires. So listen up. Post a job today at linkedin.com/garden and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/garden. Terms and conditions apply.
We'll be right back.
how much dead air there was. Another bumper here. All right, that's enough. We are back here on CLNS Media. This is the Celtics Post Game Show. Joe Choquet with Matt Rury. That's me. And before the little break there, I said that I was going to mention something that kind of concerns me a little bit about the Celtics going forward. And I don't know if there's really too much to worry about, but they've not been completely healthy down the stretch here. And over the course of the season, when they have been completely healthy and everybody plays, they don't seem to play that well. They don't seem to be that cohesive. So tonight, I'm going to point out Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris, the fact that neither one of them played. Jaylen Brown's been missed a few games in a row here with back spasms, which is unfortunate for a young player like that. You hope that he kind of gets over that pretty quickly. But for something like that, rest is the best medicine, so you never know when it's going to flare up again. So it's best that they're not playing him, and that's probably why he's had few minutes in the games that he has played over the past couple of weeks as well. Marcus Morris also sat out tonight, Joe, with knee soreness, and he has had knee problems since he signed with the Celtics, essentially. He's missed games with knee soreness. The first year that he was here at the beginning of the season, he missed games throughout the season last year with knee soreness as well. So Morris is a guy that it's not a surprise that he's missing games like that down the stretch here. So I think he'll be fine as well. But the thing that concerns me is not the fact that they're injured. It's the fact that the team plays well when their whole roster is not there. And Gordon Hayward was able to shine tonight because Morris and Brown did not have minutes. And Jason Tatum played a really good game tonight. He was able to shine because those two guys didn't have minutes. When you look at Ojale, Wanamaker, and Tice, those guys just filled in random minutes. They didn't really do anything. They didn't mean much. Terry Rozier was quiet. So when I see that Brown and Morris are out, I expect Tatum and Hayward to step up. And I think that that's great. And this is not a knock on Morris or Brown, but personally, if you have to give me a top 7 or 8 players that are going to play, I'd rather see Tatum and Hayward performing at their highest level than Morris and Brown. So a game like this sort of magnifies that for me and shows me that as good as Brown and Morris are, I like them both as players. I feel like the team is a little bit better off when guys that are more talented in Tatum and Hayward are the ones that are on the floor with Horford, Irving. I think you got to throw Marcus Smart out there because he's important as an all-around defensive player. But I don't know if I'm making too much of this or what, but it just I'm a little bit concerned that if everyone is healthy, Brad Stevens still doesn't know what the rotation should be and when he should put some of these guys in the game.
Absolutely. I mean, you did a phenomenal job explaining that, and then at the end, you put that little cherry right at the top of the sundae, which is, can Brad Stevens manage the minutes with a healthy team? Because I've said this through post games throughout the regular season. It's not like I'm breaking any news tonight, Matt, but I've always said throughout the season, when Kyrie was missing a stretch, when Jason was a little dinged up, when Marcus Morris was playing at a career level and then had the neck injury, sometimes this team performs better when it's addition by subtraction, when there are less mouths to feed, when there are less minutes to manage.
Yeah,
but that all
times.
Being said, absolutely. And I think you nailed that point. I just think that as we come into the playoffs, I believe, and I don't think, again, not a hot take, just from my eyeball test over the last, 3 months, Gordon Hayward has played his spot back into that starting five. I don't want to hear this crap that Gordon Hayward is shine coming off the bench and being a spark plug. That's not Gordon Hayward's game. And he's starting to come into a form in which you want those max minutes out of a guy who's coming back and feeling his own. And he's kind of babied himself, and the team's babied him, and his leg has forced him to baby himself throughout the regular season. So he's got the extra energy. He's got that spot back. Marcus Morris to the bench. When we talk about Jaylen Brown subbing in for Jason Tatum, to me, they're interchangeable parts. Where Brad's interest has to come going into the playoffs is he's got to play the hot hand, not the consistent hand. So if he comes out and it's the first That's quarter tough. And Jason Tatum has 9 points, Jaylen Brown's going to have limited minutes that night. And it's okay. You know, it's going to be matchup driven, but at the end of the day, Jaylen Brown has had an excellent run near the end here after some inconsistent play throughout the better first half plus of this season. Terry Rozier's minutes are going to come as garbage in the playoffs, and unless there's a Terry Rozier game. You know what I mean? That'll be matchup.
Sure.
If Kyrie
is down or something, if Kyrie's just not focused or something like that, or it looks like Rozier can make an impact, sure. You may see him out there. But I think, as far as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are concerned, that's going to be difficult for Brad to do. And I think that he's had a hard time doing that with multiple different options this season, not just those two guys, but the Morris Hayward option, the Baines / Robert Williams option when it's available, when Williams was healthy, because I'm not sure if he's even healthy right now, or Tice for that matter. I think that Brad has seriously had a difficult time choosing which guy to put in there. And overall, like you said, it's got to be the hot hand, not consistency. But the one thing that I would question is, sure, on the surface, if Tatum comes out strong in the first quarter, scores 9, 10 points, that's great. Ride the hot hand. But we've seen games in the past couple of weeks where Tatum has scored 15, 20 points in the first half and then disappeared in the second half, and Brad didn't do anything about it.
Right.
He still threw him out there. That's discouraging to me, because for the past 6 years, 5 years, we've seen Brad Stevens pull the string on every single move there is, and more often than not, it worked out for him, and he's been praised for it, rightfully so. But this year, those decisions that he's making, or lack thereof, it's not working. And I think that he's been riding his guys a little bit too long at times, and he's afraid to pull them, and he wants them to be able to overcome things. And maybe fans and analysts really get too far into it, and they just overanalyze things, to be blunt about it. But and Brad Stevens is taking a more patient approach, as perhaps he should be as the head coach of the Celtics. But I would just say that if that's the way you're going to do things in the playoffs, it's not going to be as easy as it has been for the past 5 years for him. There are very difficult decisions for him to make at this point.
Absolutely. I did a post game a week or two ago, and when we were talking about fatal flaws in the team, and I did it with Nick Sosenson. My fatal flaw with this Celtics team, sadly, is the guy in the tie at the bench. It's Brad. Because what I need, and I don't know if it's because of the area in which we live in, Matt, and that we're so spoiled with championships, but what I need from a coach is a guy that has the ability to make adjustments on the fly. Look at the New England Patriots. It's their moniker. They come out in the first half. If they pick the wrong game plan, when they come out in the second half, it's adjustment city. And usually,
Totally different.
Three chess moves. Yeah. But in basketball, what I do need from Brad, especially playoff Brad, is I need adjustments on the fly. I need him to be able to adapt to the game that's in front of him and stop with the long view. I understand during the regular season, the long view is important, and you have to build partnerships and camaraderie and playing ability with different pairings on the court. But when you get into the playoffs, you have to play to win night in, night out. And I wonder whether or not he has the metal with the talent that he has, to your point, and being able to manage relationships and minutes and buckets and attempts with the players if the team is fully healthy. That, to me, scares me going into the playoffs. Not so much the matchups on the court, more the ability for the team to adapt on the fly.
Yeah, we've seen it all season. Their best player said, and I quote, "Brad has never had a player like me before." So the players are acknowledging that the talent level is higher than Brad has ever seen. And there's definitely, especially in the modern NBA, there's a dynamic about managing superstar players that we've never seen before. These guys, thanks to the guys like LeBron James really taking over organizations and just dominating the things that happen on the court, these superstar players are really taking over the league, and they are kind of dictating the way things happen. There's only a handful of organizations that would sacrifice their GM or coach for their superstar player, but those superstar type of players are the ones that bring you championships. So that's why there's only a handful of teams that are able to win titles every year, going year in, year out, because these players have sort of turned things into I don't even really know how to explain it, but the teams that are sort of mid-level to lower level, until they get a lot more talent, this is still a superstar-driven league. You still need to have the top five to ten talent type of players on your team if you're going to win an NBA championship. It's been like this for 30 years now. It's pretty rare that you see a team that wins a title just because they are a team. And you were talking about the Detroit Pistons. We're talking about the Celtics from 08, I think, found a way to pull that off. A couple of those Spurs teams didn't really have superstars, but they won titles. But for the most part, talent wins out. And I think that Danny Ainge has found a way to bring a ton of talent to a team that really has not reached their potential. And at some point, you have to start looking at the coaching staff and start to wonder if the voice just isn't getting through. Would anyone get through? And if you're Danny Ainge, you say nobody's going to get through to these guys, I'm going to keep Brad Stevens because he's an excellent basketball coach, then I would totally understand that. You know, so it's an interesting dynamic in the league today, because you need to be careful with superstar talent, because you don't want to lose them.
Absolutely, and I think we kind of made that point. We've done a really good job with it. For anybody that's tuned in since our long break, just another recap: Celtics win tonight 112-102 over the Heat in Miami. It felt like a 10-point win, Matt, when I look back at it. My afterglow is, yeah, that was a 10-point win. It was a good effort. It was an excellent effort from Gordon Hayward. Al Horford had a solid game. I thought the team seesawed throughout the match, but at the end of the day, moving forward, in just 2 days, you have the Pacers in Indiana. Matt, looking ahead, how do you feel about facing a team, I don't know, twice in a week? Once at your house, you get the W, now you're going to their house. How do you feel going into the next game against the Pacers?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of said it earlier about Miami, but it's a similar situation. Miami's not the greatest team out there, but the Celtics beat them at home. They went down to Miami. They beat them there. So I'm hoping that they take that same mentality into Indiana and they win this game. I said a couple weeks ago on Celtic Talk Radio, our friends over there, Igor, of course, our buddy over in Serbia, doing great Celtics coverage over there for everyone. He has me on once in a while, and Bobby Manning. I think Gelso's joined his show once in a while. I said to him the other night that I'm not concerned about home court so much as I'm concerned about the Celtics showing the Pacers something in the regular season and saying to them, look, you may beat us in this game coming up on Friday, but first of all, we have the tiebreaker, so you better win your other games coming up, because we're going to win those ourselves. But I want them to be a little bit physical and sort of set the tone, if you will.
Send a message.
I've kind of looked at these last two games as a nine-game playoff series, if you will. And I expect the Celtics to win 6 out of 7 and take that series in that manner. And I think that they will do that. I think that whether they drop one tonight or I should say on Friday or not, they should win 5 out of the next, or I mean, I guess it would only be 4 out of the next 5 games and really take it to the Pacers. So I think it's important to show them that you mean business and that you're not just going to roll over in the playoffs like some people are looking at you and thinking you might, and really take any sort of confidence that the Pacers may have going into that series away by saying, listen, we beat you at home, we beat you in your house, this thing is over.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, the only part of that that I'll kind of detract from your path on is home court not mattering. To me, in the NBA specifically, home court matters a shit ton. I'm sorry I'm dropping an S-bomb on our podcast, but it really does. Because first off, records alone. Look at the Celtics record at home. Look at the Celtics record on the road. I hate to say that that doesn't matter because I truly believe it does. So I want that 4 seed. And to your point, I think the game against the Pacers is a big game. And not so much, to your point again, win or loss, but from sending a message perspective. You know, two teams that are destined to meet in the playoffs, you're going to want to send a message in this game. And then it doesn't – your next game following is the Orlando Magic, who through the loss with Miami tonight are now playoff eligible. So they're going to still be playing hard. So you have two tough games, and then you have the Wizards to round out the season. I think over the next 3 games – you have to just continue to try to hone in on the type of basketball you want to bring into the playoffs. And regardless of win-loss, you're trying to win. You want to secure the 4. But more importantly, to your point, you want to send a message to the Pacers that you are the real deal and you should be feared. Because I think by winning out or 2 of the last 3 here, you kind of send a message back to the NBA that, hey, when we put our stuff together, we are one of the most feared teams in the NBA. So you want to get that fear factor going, even on a subconscious level, going into the playoffs, in my ridiculously humble opinion.
No, I'm with you on that one, because, listen, nobody fears them right now. Marcus Smart has said this a million times this year, and when he's saying it, you know there's a problem, because, I mean,
right.
He's a guy that steps on the court and thinks that people fear him every single time. So when he says that someone's not fearing his team, there's a problem there. I'm glad he hasn't been saying it recently. But, yeah, they need to get that swagger back. They need to find a way to have teams look at them on their schedule and say, oh, wait, Celtics? Ooh, maybe let's pack it in tonight because they're going to give it all they have. And I think that their roster just – is not necessarily built for that type of grit and balls, if you will. I mean, they have Aaron Baines, they have Marcus Smart, they have Marcus Morris, and I would give Al Horford some credit in this regard as well. But for the rest of the team, most of these guys are finesse, offensive-minded, great players. Listen, I'm not trying to detract from these guys. I love Jason Tatum. I love Kyrie Irving. Gordon Hayward is really showing us something this year. I think that Jaylen Brown can definitely be a NBA champion someday. He's not going to win 5 or 6, like he said in that interview a while back, that crazy guy. But I think one day he could be a player on a championship team. So I like these guys and what they bring. But as far as grind it out, like really gritty types of players that we've seen on Celtics teams in the past, I'm even talking about Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas. Those guys really gave it their all. Some of these players aren't really doing that so far this year. If they can do it in the playoffs, I think this team is going to be awesome. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I think they're going to go far. But those are the types of guys that you have to sort of question. And when Baines and Smart and Morris are the ones that are sort of leading that type of gritty heart, if you will, that's tough because they're not the ones that are getting the minutes because there are other players on the team that are more talented than them. So the coaching staff puts them on the floor, which is the way that you should do things. If you have a guy that you think is a better basketball player, of course you want to have him on the floor. But Boston fans, Joe, and I know you know this, really prefer a team that would grind it out and show that heart and that grit and win a game that way, as opposed to a team that is flashy and brilliant and doesn't necessarily win but looks fun doing it, right?
It's deep-seated. It goes all the way back to Showtime Lakers versus your blue-collar Celtics of the 80s. It's a mentality in the Boston sports DNA that we want a team of Trot Nixons versus a team of A-Rods. Although we did really want him until we didn't want him. But at the end of the day,
all these guys. Yeah, right. That's a Red
right.
Sox thing, though. I mean, I feel like
Absolutely.
Nobody else is really that. No other fan base is bitter when a player goes to a different team. The Red Sox fan base gets bitter. Let's just put that out there.
Well, yes, we get bitter, and that's only because usually when they go somewhere, if we're in on the bidding and we lose, first off, nobody likes being a bridesmaid. Secondly, typically in the Celtics history, in the Red Sox history, when they're buying for a free agent or in a trade, it's because that player is going to be great. And you don't want to see him play for somebody else. And specifically, you never want to see him play for the Yankees. Thank you, Johnny Damon. But at the end of the day, all we want is a bunch of dirt dogs. You know, we want people that are going to bear their grit and balls, their heart on their sleeves. You know, you want a Kevin Garnett type player. You want a Larry Bird type player. You want these, you know, as a Boston sports fan, this is what we want. And when we don't get what we want and it doesn't equate to the results, that's when we start getting vocal. That's when we start having contempt and unrest. It's when, like, if you're going to be flashy, but you win. If you're not going to win, you're going to deal with it because we're going to give it to you. And that's just the Boston sports mentality. I mean, and it bleeds, you know, we've kind of bled it into the Red Sox a little bit, but it also bleeds into the Bruins. It bleeds into the Patriots. You know, as a Patriots fan, you're a little spoiled every time you have a cast off, with the exception of Curtis Martin. They haven't really done much to hurt you on the way back. So you feel okay when the Patriots cast off somebody or when somebody leaves the Patriots.
Listen, the Patriots are the best at this. Let me tell you, they just do everything they can to get guys that are going to grind it out and get maximum effort. That's the Patriot way, and that is part of the reason that I think people are still spoiled. The Celtics kind of started it in the 80s, right? The Bruins have been on and off with it over the course of their history. We saw those dirt dogs back in
2004.
10 years ago, 15 years ago for the Red Sox, you know, and that team was really gritty. We loved that team. And it's just more recently where I don't know if it's athletes in general and they're getting complacent or they're trying to manage themselves and their bodies, which I don't blame them for. It's just not something that we as fans are looking for. We want to see people with maximum effort all the time. And sometimes we don't really understand the fact that they can't necessarily do that anymore, right? Or it's more prudent for them as a person to be a little bit more careful with the way they play the game, regardless of what game it is. So I think once people start to realize that and they look at the game a little bit differently, there won't be so much vitriol towards guys that look like they're slacking off out there or something like that. And maybe at some point the leagues, especially NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball, maybe they'll realize that you have too many games.
Shorten your seasons. Get rid of some games.
Just cut it down. I know it's a big money grab and all that, but I think in the long run, if all these leagues cut a tenth of their season even, it would benefit them because their players would be happy and they would be more healthy and the revenue would still be there. I feel like we're going off on a major tangent here right at the end of the show, Joe.
That's what we do, though, Matt. That's what makes us interesting. I guarantee you we're going to be top five of downloaded podcasts when it's all said and done. Bobby Manning loves us, and he loves us together.
That's great. That's good stuff. All right. Well, you know what? Hopefully we will be downloaded big time tonight, because I think we actually knocked this one out of the park. I feel like we did a really nice job tonight. I'm going to pat myself on the back. The Celtics won a game in the regular season, and even on the last post-game show, I said that we weren't going to care about the regular season going forward because the Celtics didn't care. But you know what? It finally looks like the Celtics might actually care about some of these games down the stretch and how they're playing going into the playoffs. So I'm going to start caring again, too. I'm on the roller coaster with them. I'm in for the ride. Let's do this thing. That's it for me, Joe. If you got anything else, otherwise, I will send it off to...
Yeah, just a couple of quick... No, just like you, I have a couple of quick points to encapsulate tonight and then move on down the road. And that's to say that, you know, again, it's a regular season game, tail end of the season in April. It shouldn't mean anything, but it kind of did. And for those of us that are looking for nuances within the game, for upgrades, progression, and movement in the right direction leading into the playoffs, it was a fun game to watch. You were able to see some of those progressions that you were looking for. Beyond all that, coming up next, you have the Pacers in Indiana. Fortunately for you all, or half of you, because I think I'm a kind of polarizing guy, I'll be on the air after
there we
doing
go.
The postgame for an hour. Immediately following it on CLNS Media, Celtics Postgame Live. And then a shameless plug
up.
As I say goodbye. And as I say goodbye, Matt, a shameless plug. I've also started my own podcast called Brain Droppings.
Boy.
You can find it on Blog Talk Radio. I wanted to go 180 degrees away from sports, so it's comedy-based. It's storytelling, life lessons. It's a little bit of everything that stews in this crazy cranium that I have on top of my head. But at the end of the day, check it out. It's on Blog Talk Radio and on TuneIn.
All right. Joe Choquette sponsoring his own stuff here. Look at that. All right. Joe, I don't even know what to say. I was going to look and see who was on the next show, and I saw it was you and Bobby Manning, and that's great. I mean, stepping it up. So hopefully you continue your little winning streak here, back-to-back games. Let's get a win in Indiana. For the Celtics on Friday night. My name is Matt Rury. That was Joe Choquette. And if he's going to do some plugging, I'm going to do some plugging of my own, because I skipped my own podcast last night. And tonight, Calvin and I have not been doing shows together, and it hurts me. It hurts me to my soul. So we're going to do one of these nights. We're going to figure it out. And just to give you a little taste, I am going to play the outro from my podcast, Careless Whispers, usually on Tuesday nights on CLNS Media. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Celtics Postgame Show. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
I don't think it's San Diego.
Is it Calvin? Is it Calvin from his home number? Yeah, it's Calvin.
Is it Calvin?
We'll go back to him.
Go back to him. Calvin, you there, buddy?
Calvin.
818. Are you there?
All right, his phone number.
Sounds he might be snoring. He might have fallen asleep during this while he was waiting on hold. Are we that boring?
I know.
That's classic. Classic. No, I love it.
It's early out there, too. I think we should have the excuse.
Well, knowing Calvin, he may have had a couple drinks, but I'll tell you what, that's definitely getting cut out for an audio bit. That's great. Go to the next one.
We're going to go ahead and we can look.
This has been the Celtics Postgame Show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcast on the web.